Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet, resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
LA, I want to say thank you very much. My special recording at the Dynasty Typewriter on Wednesday, December 14th is sold out. I can't thank you all enough for it. We're going to have a fun fucking time. Also hear that they don't serve alcohol. So, hey, maybe you want a pregame, y'all. I'll see you on the 14th. I want to make a very special announcement here. I'm excited to say that I have the Crab Feast podcast back under my control. Okay. So it's every artist's goal to get their, you know, property back to them. We got it. All right. So if you don't know about the Crab Feast, but a lot of you do. I want to say this. I'm on the road, meet and greets. People come up. Been rocking with you since the feast, man. The feast. The Crab Feast is a podcast that I did with Jay Larson. It's a storytelling podcast, audio only. We did it for about 7.5 years. There's 350 some episodes. Hell, if you listen to two a week, it would take you 3.5 years to get through it. But it's a phenomenal library that I'm very proud of. It's what preceded the Honeydew for me. And it's got all the same favorite guests you love: Segura, Burt Kreischer, Bill Burr, Christina P, you name it. And they're all different stories too. So if you love the Honeydew, you got to check out the Crab Feast. Subscribe to it today. It's still getting a ton of downloads already. There's an active community on Facebook that goes through every episode. And it's been almost gone for 4 years now. So feasters, let them know. Honeydew fans, if you are looking for, you're all caught up on Honeydew and you're like, what else can I listen to? I'm telling you, go listen to the Crab Feast. It is a fantastic, fun, storytelling podcast. You know, there you'll get like, man, I got this weird ghost story and a near death and a marriage story and a this, where that's what, you know, the Honeydew for me was the Crab Feast needed to have a baby. And I just focus on highlighting the lowlights here. So go check it out. It's available everywhere you get podcasts. It's audio only. Like I said, subscribe, join the fan pages, have fun with it. I'm going to be promoting it every week here on the Honeydew now that it's back in control here. So I'm very excited about that. Thank you, feasters. Thank you, Honeydew fans. Enjoy the feast.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I want to say thank you, like I always do every week. Thank every single one of you for your support, for subscribing. Hit that subscribe. If you're watching YouTube, just hit the damn subscribe button. It's a free way to help the show, all right? And if you got to have more, then you got to check out the Patreon. It's the Honeydew with y'all, where I highlight the lowlights with y'all. And y'all have the wildest fucking stories. I say it every week, and every week a new one pops up. It's $5 a month. There's no tiers, levels. We're not t-shirt cannon and shit. It's just $5, all right? If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free, and you're getting a Honeydew a day earlier. You're getting it ad-free, and you're getting it at no additional cost, all right? Tickets for all tour dates are on my website at ryansickler.com. We got Chicago, November 11th and 12th, Grand Rapids, December 9th. And the 10th. All right. That's the biz there, y'all. You guys know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. Today, very excited to have this guest here. First time on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rich Voss. Welcome to the Honeydew, Rich.
This is too professional for me. I go, why am I here? I'm out of place. Our fucking podcast, we tried Patreon and we lasted about 6 months. We go, we can't do another one of these. We can't do two of them. We're like every week. When do you want to do it? I don't know. I don't want to get up. You know, like this is a studio. You got a logo. You got fucking cups and shirts. It's just. Let me tell you something. If my wife and I are not fighting on our podcast, then it's not a podcast. You know, our best one is when I made her cry. Anyhow.
Why don't you promote that podcast?
It's called My Wife Hates Me. You know, it's anywhere you can find a podcast, bus terminals, you know, whatever. My Wife Hates. It's really funny. You know, I'll tell you a story.
Tell them who your wife is in case they don't know who Bonnie is.
Oh, Bonnie McFarlane.
Yeah,
Bonnie
who's fucking hilarious.
She's on fire.
She's hilarious.
She just sold like two TV shows. She's rewriting a movie.
All right.
She was an executive producer on a Netflix show in the 20-something. You know, her career is on. We have the same manager. So he called me one day and I go, oh, good. Something good's happening, right? And he calls me. I go, oh, I wonder what's up because he never calls me. He goes, do you have Bonnie's banking information? I went from a fucking headliner to an assistant. All right. I stink. So, I got my seventh album coming out. It's called Rich Voss 7. I think it'll come out 2-3 weeks, November. And I have a special that I shot a couple years ago. It's coming out. It's going to be on like all these streaming platforms like Pluto, Roku. But it's cool. I shot it at a 12-step convention.
I love that.
It no one's ever done it. It's so cool. Bonnie directed the opening scene. It's so fucking cool. Be it my stage behind me looks like a 12-step meeting, has all the signs, the coffee pots, the donuts, chairs.
Mick Betancourt? Do you remember Mick?
No.
Mick's a Chicago guy. He's a really good comedian, writer, producer. But he used to do a show in the Valley. And it was, I can't remember how many years running, but it was at an AA because he was clean and sober. And it was at an AA hall. And it was open to, you know, the, what do you call it?
Recovery
patients. I don't know what I mean? The patrons. I don't know. The alcoholics and the users and shit. Yeah. And it was the best fucking show. It was so fun. Those people have done the wildest shit you couldn't even imagine. So hearing you talk about your stuff, and they didn't care if you talked about drinking or drugs. They're like, fucking been there. And they you know, you could go dark and low on them because they've been there. It was so fucking fun.
Yeah, I've done a lot of conventions. I've done some with, you know, 2,000 people. I did.
Damn, really? 2,000?
Big conventions, you know. A cool thing I did, I got a call. They were having a drug awareness concert next to the Washington Monument. Mm-hmm. And they called me to host it. I guess I got to the V's. And so they called me to host it, right? And I hosted Woodstock 99. Did you see that documentary that's out?
I started watching it and I fell asleep, not going to lie.
I was on in the first 15 minutes.
Okay,
I'm going, let's go crazy. Let's go. I hosted that for 3 days.
Like a side stage thing or something?
No, the second biggest. There was an east stage and west. Anyhow, so I've done some big outdoor events, but this one.
That's the one everyone set everything on fire.
Yeah, but that was the other stage. They asked me to come host that. I said, no way. I'll stay on my, and my stage has sometimes had 50, 70,000 people. I had them all. I had about 70,000 people at the count of three. I go, say hi to my daughters, Jessica and Ellen. I have it on tape. They all yell, hi, Jessica. Hi,
That's
Ellen.
Nice.
Anyhow, so I did this big event in DC. There was probably 15,000. And I got to do material. I did like 5 or 10. A lot of people in recovery. It was just a drug awareness concert. Steven Tyler, Sheryl Crow, this band, The Fray, and whatever. It was cool. But, you know, also, too, my career. 2 weeks ago, I was working in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I wish it was a parade. I was working in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So before I go on, the club owner, you're not going to do that many F-bombs. And I'm like, oh, anybody says that.
That's still a thing?
To me. Like, first of all, I know. Like, my 7th album is Sparkling Clean because I want to get it on more stations on Sirius. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I could be cleaned, whatever. I could do whatever the fuck I want. So he goes, no F-bombs. Or, yeah.
But right. Why?
I don't know. He's an
was
old
there
fuck.
A certain group out there he was worried about offending?
I don't, he's trying to get, they're all, look, he's an old guy. He does a radio show in Kenosha, him and his wife. He introduces me. This week we have Rich Voss, 2-time Oscar winner. I wrote on 2 Oscars. If I won 2 Oscars, you think I'd be at your fucking club at the fucking Holiday Inn in Kenosha, you fucking jamoke, all right? Fucking 2-time Oscar winner. Look who we have on our fucking fly-by-night radio show. So that fucking week, that Friday, now he has two rooms at this hotel. One gigantic ballroom, mm-hmm. and then he has a nice size that would be perfect.
It's like Woodstock, bro. Yeah, he's bro, got his west yeah. and east, bro. Yeah,
perfect room. So it wasn't enough to fill the big room, and he lets people seat themselves, right? So there's a big opening horseshoe in the middle. So that week he decides they're going to sell food at the club. So as you walk in, he had all these samples, but people didn't see him as they walked in because they were samples. In the middle of my show, he has the waitresses passing out samples.
Nuh-uh.
I go, is this, what am I working, fucking Costco? What is this, a wedding? Right? And I'm yelling at the waitresses, stop. And
I've never heard anything.
They're passing like people, hey, do you want a little sample of pastry, you fat slob? And I lost it. And F bombs. There was, I forgot
about that.
Yeah, like, oh really? How am I not going to curse when you're passing out food? Like, you know, and I got off stage. I yelled. So like, you do some of these gigs, they're the greatest.
Well, I just called out the comedy club. It was up in Vancouver. They got the, which is nice. They give the terminal to each table to pay their bill, so that the waitress isn't going back and forth. Great. But the fucking thing beeps so fucking loud. So you're just hearing beep, beep, beep. I was like, is someone having a medical emergency right now? Are you all right fucking down there? Dude? Like, for real, are you okay? And they're like, I'm just paying my bill. I was like, wait, that's something that the club guy was like, of course.
It's
of course a comedy club would give the fans something that would be louder than their fucking phone.
It's
of course they would.
Oh, no,
and there's hundreds of them going off.
I'm doing
fireworks.
I'm doing at least an hour wherever I go. 20 minutes are dropping the fucking checks. 20. I go, listen, you fucking idiots. You could sell at least 2 more rounds. And make your money, because that's their job, is to sell wings and fucking drinks.
While
that's the
dance.
Difference. When you, and I love doing clubs. Don't get me. I love comedy clubs. That are, you know, I like theaters too, but it's a whole different vibe. You know, comedy club, I sit on a stool and I bring them, you know what I mean? And then when they're dropping, you know, people, like I'll be, you know, people are on their phones and I'm like, what the fuck? They're trying to figure out the bill, you know? So whatever, it's a business we're in.
All right, well, you know, let me ask you this question, because we could sit here and bitch about comedy.
I love it.
So let me ask you this: you decide to do this in at a rehab at an AA. Your special, I'm talking about.
Well, no, what? Yeah, it was at a.
At a what?
It was at a convention.
Okay, at a convention. This is the special,
right? A 12-step convention.
But did you pick that because you had gone through this year? Like, is that something that really resonates with you and is something you wanted to do to help? And
No, I don't want to help anybody.
Take me back to the beginning. Let's talk about you.
First of all, I got 36 years clean.
Wow, congrats.
36 years. I did it for you and this podcast.
Yeah, man. Thank you. We've been waiting, bro. I said, not till he's 36 deep, bro.
I said,
make sure he comes ringed up, too, man.
Yeah, but listen.
You definitely have the most rings of anyone who's ever been on this.
I'm a fucking headliner, bitch. These aren't middle rings.
They're not feature rings.
No, you kidding me? Every now and then I'll let a feature touch them. But here, touch my ring.
Let me touch one.
No, you're a co-headliner. So I was a fucking drug. The night before, in the 80s, there was one-nighters all over in Jersey. I'm from Jersey. I live in Connecticut, New York. I mean, one-nighters, like they were going, you know,
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Do one-nighters where I was closing back then. I wasn't a headliner, but I was the closer. You know, Chris Rock would be in the middle, Ray Romano, and, you know, Adam Sandler. I'll tell you a funny story with Adam. Me and Adam did a Holiday Inn in Scranton, right? Adam played guitar. He was, you know, he went on, and then I went on. And after the show, the owner brought us in the back and pulls out a big bag of Coke.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet, resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
And he says, do you want Coke or money? And Adam took the money and I took the Coke. And you see where his career is. And you see where my career is. Okay. But I took it. Yeah. And so, I knew I had to go to rehab. I was going to rehab. So I started smoking.
But wait a second. What? Let's go to the beginning. You're from Jersey. You're how old now, for real?
How old am I?
Yes.
Like 65.
It's amazing to me. I think you look great.
Okay, I'm married.
Still.
It's 65. Yeah.
I think you look great.
Oh, thanks.
Tell me about your upbringing and how you get onto drugs. Do you have older brothers? Were you clean and sober up until comedy started hitting you with those one-nighters?
Well, what happened was my gym teacher said too much teeth. You know, as a kid, here's the deal, and I don't want to get too deep. When you come from a broken home, like when I was young, you won't even know this. I used to come home from school in fourth grade and I would listen to, this comedy album, Von Meter, every day. He did the impressions of the Kennedys. It's called The First Family. They got shot and his career was done. Done. This guy was the number one.
He was a two-trick pony.
This guy was the number one, had the number one selling album. Like they say, he went from Park Avenue to Park Bench. He died in alcohol, a full-blown alcohol. And I used to come. What do you mean? I think Lenny Bruce walked on stage that night.
Oh, God.
I think Lenny Bruce walked on stage after the Kennedy. I think he said, well, there goes Von Meter's career. Right? He was, I think that's the famous line he said. So I used to come home from school and listen, because, and I didn't realize this till later in life. You know, I'm covering the pain of my parents' divorce. You know, I'm in fourth grade.
Are you an only child?
No, I had a brother who passed, and my sister's 2 years older.
Okay. You
know. So growing up, and my mom.
Well, how old was your brother when he passed?
Probably about 58, 59.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, still fucking young.
And the thing, you know, he diabetic. He lost a leg, and still I'm paying full price for a casket. All right. I'm paying. Okay. All right. And this funeral. The funeral. The funeral.
Keep going, please. No. Don't mind me.
The funeral. $14,000 I'm paying. You know, I'm trying to save money. I'm like, can we do 3 feet? You know what I mean? Yeah. Look, he did one of his bits, a fucking boat act. Anyhow, so you grow up doing negative shit. Negative attention is better than none. But you don't know. You know, your mom's doing the best. She's working two jobs or one job and three kids. You know, and she's struggling. Like, what the fuck? She's a secretary, you know? Luckily, we lived above my grandparents for free. They had a multifamily house.
What age are you when your parents split?
Oh, fourth grade or eight or nine. But I dressed like a 12-year-old. So I was 8 or 9. And
you live with mom and his dad just
so
like
dad would come
peace, or was he around?
Well, no. This is how
holidays
fucked
and shit.
This is how fucked up parents are back then. They didn't have self-help and all that shit, you know. You know, I remember like my dad would come every couple, 2 or 3 weeks, and we stand away, oh, daddy's coming, yeah. And then he come walking down the driveway and detectives would jump out of the bushes and arrest them.
Nuh-uh, is that yes, real? Yeah. You witnessed that?
Yeah, yeah. No. So we were fucking like, we were
you didn't
bait.
Even know the detectives were in the bushes?
No, my mom. So.
That's crazy. You were bait.
We were bait, you know. So who's more fucked up? Him for not paying child support or my mom using us
that
to
go now.
Set him up? I remember we took the bus all the way to New York from New Jersey. To meet him at the Port Authority, detectives, boom.
You've seen it more than once.
Oh, yeah, not the same ones.
Yeah. New York. You're like, hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual, so when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient and accessible anywhere, 100% online. You guys know I believe in therapy here. You know, everyone's out there working out their bodies, and we got to work out those minds and those emotions and those feelings. So therapy is always a good option, all right? As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/honeydew. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/honeydew. If you didn't already know, 2022 has been one of the most difficult times to try buying your first home. But great news, 2023 is going to be the year of the first-time home buyer. With a recession, buyers have more power, less cutthroat competition, and homes are about to get more affordable. So if you haven't listened to the How to Buy a Home podcast, now is the perfect time. Since 2005, David has been the undisputed first-time home buyer authority. His How to Buy a Home podcast has helped so many listeners close on houses that they thought were impossible. David can guide you through the next steps that are right for you, whether you're planning to buy a home now or 5 years from now. He can even connect you with a great realtor in your town that works with first-time home buyers and actually cares about you. Plus, he just released a first-time homebuyer starter kit at howtobuyahome.com. It's a free resource with all the knowledge you need to buy your first home. Start planning this holiday season at howtobuyahome.com and make this the last year you rent. Find How to Buy a Home on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, let's get back to the do.
So, but now, like, when my first wife and I got divorced, we're good friends because I did the opposite of my parents with my kids. My mom did the best she could with the tools she had. Sir, come on my chin.
Yeah.
You know, you just learn, you do the opposite with your kids. My kids grew up, my kids are fucking great. So then, you know,
you grew up a little like me. So then, well, you had the extended family a little bit, grandparents.
Well, like, I didn't get along with that. I was the black sheep.
Okay.
Our family was the black sheep. Like my cousins, their families, they had Hebrew school scholars, houses down the shore, and, you know, we're living free. We were the black sheep, you know, during all the big family dinners at my grandparents, you know. My mom was kind of the butt of the jokes with, like, you know. And I was the black sheep of the black sheep family.
Got it. You're the black sheep.
Yeah. I was the fucked up fuck. You know, my cousins were all honor roll students, college. I quit high school, you know, started a business.
Did you really?
Yeah, I started my own. I had the biggest painting business in town, but I did coke. You know, it's tough, and I was scared of heights. So, paint my house. I'll do the first floor. You don't see no. This is true story. It's on my album.
Step ladder and below, bro. Yes. That is it.
This is it's a true story. I owe drug deal everybody in town money. All drugs everywhere I go. Every Friday I would paint. I had an old Dodge pickup truck. I would paint it a different color with house paint.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, I did. There goes Voss. No, he had a red truck. That's shutter green.
brush paints on it.
Swear to God. One week it was brown, I remember. It was red. It was an old thing. And it wasn't even semi-gloss. It was a flat brown. Look at that. You know. So as you grow up doing negative shit, then you start hanging with the same type of kids that come from broken homes. You know, I grew up in the neighborhood was, you know, my back street was all black people. It was, you know, and the front was like white people. So you grow up, you feel, I don't feel as good as them, or I don't feel like I belong with them. And I feel a little better than, I'm doing a little better than the dudes behind me. So that's who you hang out with. So you hang out, and then it grows into negative, whatever. It just escalates.
What's your first drug ever?
Pot. Alcohol. Me and Rudy drank, his brother Pee Wee gave us a bottle of Thunderbird, and we drank Thunderbird one night.
How old?
Shit, maybe eighth grade.
Yeah, okay.
And we threw up the next, me and Rudy were, you know, Pee Wee, and all the dudes, a lot of the dudes on my block all died of AIDS from shooting dope.
Heroin. Is that right?
Back then, and, you know, I knew dudes, they were all in prison or shooting, you know. These are just the dudes on my block. And I only hung with some of them. The older guys were, you know, fucking cars ripping around the corner, or guns, FBI, or, you know, they're chasing. My block was a lot of heroin dealing, heroin addicts. And we were young.
What area of Jersey?
Plainfield.
Plainfield, okay.
So then you get older and you progress and you start doing this drug, that drug, and then next thing you know, you're smoking Freebase or crack.
You
whatever.
Got that far?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, so how old were you when you first did cocaine and how did you do it? Did you sniff it?
It was it was on the tip of this guy's dick.
I might believe you. Though,
no.
<dude.
laughs> No. It was. So it was. You know, I don't know, party with friends. I snorted. You know, we were snorting
high
drugs.
High school? Like, is it that early?
No, it's probably after high school. Right. We were doing, like, pot, acid, you know, going to concert, drinking, New York Dolls. I saw them on acid and all. Then 21, you know, I get real bad anxiety. I put myself in a hospital. They don't know what anxiety is back then. They really don't. They think you're just nuts and they feed you with Thorazine and how, you know, I'm doing a shuffle around every day, just shuffling around the fucking fifth floor of the fucking psych ward. I remember my friends came to see me. I go, we're going for our walk today. I can't have company, you know. I have had anxiety my whole life. I get it now, even talking. When I talk about myself deep like this, I get fucking major anxiety. So I'm suffering from anxiety. Then you just get older and it progresses. Drug addiction progresses with certain people. If you have that addictive personality, you're addicted to instant gratification, you know, so... You know, you're snorting coke, you're partying, you're doing whatever. You're dealing, and then you're fucking owing everybody money because you're doing all the product, and it's just a fucking night moving from house to house,
painting that fucking truck. It's yeah, nonstop that truck stress. Is gone. I mean, you're just fueling anxiety.
That business is gone. You know.
Okay, at this point, that's gone.
Yeah, I owe fucking paint distributors thousands, and this is back then. That's a lot.
That is a lot. So when did you first freebase? How old are you when you freebase?
Well, I was doing comedy. I started comedy. Mm-hmm. I was so bad in the beginning. So bad. I didn't know. I just wanted to be I remember going to Catch a Rising Star a couple of times.
I remember that place in that hotel. Was it a...
No. Not the one in Princeton. New York.
Yeah.
The real one. And I remember seeing Lenny Schultz. He did props. Crazy Lenny. I go, that's what I should do. I just went to Toys R Us and bought it, and it was just horrible. It was horrible. I remember going on the first time. Oh, my God. My friend's band was playing. I went on. It was just so bad. Then I did it. But then I started booking these rooms, one-nighters, in where I would host. Then other guys booking one-nighters like New York, Connecticut. We would trade. I'd say, you could do my gig, and I'd do their gig, so I'd get work. You know, and my one-nighter, I mean, I had fucking top act. I remember having this headliner, Mulrooney, Johnny, fucking great, and he brought his own middle, and the middle act, he's like, I don't know if you know this, but I work Catch a Rising Star. I go, well, yeah, you're making $60 a night. and it was Richard fucking Jenny.
Oh,
he was opening for Mulrooney. You know,
okay.
So I had all these, you know, and I would get work, and then it built and built. But then there's two. Now I'm starting a freebase. I don't know how.
Are you taking drugs instead of money also for payment and things like that?
No, I'm just taking the money and going to buy drugs.
And are you keeping this quiet?
No.
Is this just a thing that you're doing?
No. I'm doing it with other comics, okay. Freebasing friends that I mean, car accidents. I mean, just a complete nightmare. Of drug addiction, complete nightmare.
And it when you wake up, is it immediate? Like, is it all day long?
No, when I wake up, I'm like, fuck it, how am I gonna get money to get high tonight? You know, it's just horrible. It's a horrible feeling. That next morning, just nightmare stories after nightmare. Car accident, stealing, whatever. You know, probably one of the lowest things. It's a gross story, but I was in a bar in New York. I had no money left. I have 80 cents, and I had 40-cent drafts, I think. I went in to have two drafts. And some girl comes up to me. She goes, oh, can I buy you a drink? So I go sit at her table, and she goes, can I buy you a drink? Oh, yeah. She goes, you got to go up and get it. And she handed me $20, and I walked up to the bar and just ran out the door. And took it and went and bought two more vials of crack. You know, so it's 2 years or 3 years of just pure fucking drug addiction.
Crack, you got all the way to crack.
Well, crack is freebase. Yeah. That's just a name. So
Did you ever put a needle in your arm?
Just only twice. I didn't like it.
You did, though?
Yeah, twice. It wasn't my type of high. You know, I didn't like heroin, you know.
So coke was your
drug
of choice.
So I remember one night I smoked an eighth of coke, about 3 minutes, and I'm ready to fucking So I go up to, I got to go to rehab. So I go up to Fair Oaks and I'm sitting in the waiting room. I had no insurance. I knew nothing. And by the time they saw me, I came down. I said, fuck, I left. So it was probably another half a year, of running. And then I put myself in rehab. I remember the night before I was going to rehab, I called this booker, Gary Grant. He booked one-nighters. I said, listen, I'm going to rehab tomorrow. I need to get high. Can you? And he gave me this one-nighter. It was called BF Packies, a fucking nightmare. I did it, went to New York, bought 5 vials of Coke, smoked them. The next morning, my mother drove me to rehab, and I have not picked up a drug or drink a day since.
Yeah, I'm trying to do the math in my head. So if you're 65 and you've been clean and sober, 36, around 29, you're going.
28, yeah.
Yeah, you're 20, going clean and sober. Yeah. So what's the closest to death you've come in there? And that could be gun being, robbed. You been robbed a bunch and shit?
No, like, no, but I've had guns held. You know, yeah. I remember one night we were going to cop, me and my friend, and he goes to steal like a vial or two from these, and they pull out guns. I go, hey, that was him, not me. Yeah, whoa, you know. I
had the keys. You got 2-3 extra vials.
I had keys to front doors of buildings up in Spanish Harlem. So, I mean, we were in a car accident once where we took down a fucking light post. 80 miles, you know, I should have died there.
Were you driving?
No, no. We all got out. It was just horrible.
There's no airbags or anything back then.
This was a Camaro. Yeah. I mean, this thing was going fucking, and we just spun. All the wheels are off the car. I mean, total, all of us should have died.
Yeah, and no one did.
No one, we all, no. And I went back in later that night to New York. I made 3 trips that night, and the next morning ended up in a hospital with a kidney stone. I didn't know what it was. And I think a couple weeks after that is when I ended up in rehab. But close to death, every time you're getting high, you're close to death.
Yeah,
you blow your fucking heart out, you know. So, you know.
And I say this all the time, too, and I know I sound like an old white guy, but today, if you don't get clean and sober, you're going to die. That fentanyl is going to get you. It will get you sooner or later. There's no way you could run for 3-4 years these days of cocaine or whatever and not get a hot shot. I feel like the odds it's are impossible. Way against you.
I mean, we're getting high every day smoking fucking coke.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine, sooner or later, you're going to get one.
And I used to, you know, once in a while snort it, but like I said, it's like reading a book backwards. After you smoke it, people go, hey, you want some coke? If we weren't smoking it, I didn't really want it. You know,
that's that much difference of a high? Yeah.
So anyhow, I go to rehab. They said, you know, you can't do comedy for a year because the day I got to rehab, I did a show that night. I got booked. And I just haven't, you know, my desire to stay clean is much stronger. I mean, right now I have enough money in life. I would die. This watch. I sell this watch. I'm dead. You know what I mean? I didn't have any money then. And I got a family.
You would sell that watch for back then is not what you would sell it for today either.
No.
You'd be pawning that shit off for
$100. Well, let's not get crazy. $100, I'll let you wear it for a day, motherfucker.
Wear it around.
Call you up. Where's my watch? Time's up.
I'm on a fucking watch time share.
So, and then, you know, I remember in the beginning, like, I mean, I was working for a guy once. And he was evicted out of his house. Mm-hmm. So he was staying at a hotel. He had all his shit in his hotel room. So I get off stage and I say, he doesn't have my money. So I go in his hotel room. I took his TV that he had stored, not the hotel TV, his TV.
Yeah.
And I go home and my ex-wife is like, what are you working for, a microwave next week? You know, I have so many. When you start comedy, I remember one time
the scariest? Scariest drug deal transaction, like.
Well, we were in New York.
You've never been jumped all those times? You've never been jumped?
No, man. No, I knew how to carry myself. I, you know. Plus, I was a good buyer. They didn't want, You know, one time, and this is a true story, I mean, I put this on.
Maybe back then it was different, because I feel like nowadays when you come down to those neighborhoods now and they know a white dude in these neighborhoods, you're going to get everything. You're not getting your drugs, your money's gone, and you might get out of there with your life.
Another drug addict. He goes, look, I got a shotgun. Let's go rip off some drug dealers. And we were this close. We would have got killed.
Yeah.
Because they have lookouts. They have, there's no way we would. And then I said, you know what? This ain't going to work. You know, and we were at that point where we were going to.
But that's how deep in the addiction you are. You're considering.
You're considering.
Right.
You're going, well, he's got a shotgun. You know, we'll go. And, but everywhere you go, to buy those places up in Spanish Harlem, they got lookouts. You can't, you're not going in there with a shotgun. They all have, so you just crazy things in your head. You know what I mean? One night I go, oh, maybe I'll be a male prostitute. And I stood on a corner for about 7 minutes and I go, it's not my career. I just pick any corner. I'm sure there was a corner where they all hung, but I go, I wouldn't even know what to do. Hey, can you just give me the money and I owe you? So I quit. You know, just stuff goes through your head. You're so high. But, you know, it's.
But you're a one and done rehab.
Yeah.
That's rare, too.
Oh, it is.
I mean, I sit here on this show and listen to people sit across from me and they tell me how they failed rehab time and time again. So to go once and then not a fuck up.
Well, because I think it's 1 in 33, 1 in 33 last, right. Something like that. You know,
you're an outlier, bro.
Well, it's because.
Yeah, what was it?
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I didn't want to die or go to jail. And that's, there's only three endings: jail, institution, or death. There's no good ending, you know. And I talk to people, I see people, well, I only do it this day or that day, or it's whatever. And you can't, and this is all 12 step sayings, but you can't carry an addict, you can carry the message, you know. So
your ego's not your amigo.
Yeah, all that shit. Yeah. There's so much shit.
That one right there hits me hard.
Well, and
I only let my ego drive in the car with me now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Outside the car, we just shut the fuck up.
Ego is easing God out. Fear, false evidence appearing real. There's so much shit. And I'm not some fucking 12-step zombie, you know. I take what I want and leave the rest behind, or take what I need.
Now, does Bonnie drink or anything like
that? Yeah, she has drink, yeah.
In front of you, too? And are you okay? Yeah. And how is that for you?
She's not
fucking. I always wonder.
She's not selling pussy to get high. She's got it.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer.
You know, she. You know, she has one drink. She can't, two drinks, she's out. She has one drink.
And it never, my question is, that doesn't entice you to be like, let me have a sip of that one or something like that.
No, I mean, listen, I'm an addict. I gamble, you know, I play lotteries, which I got to get in check. I mean, I've always gambled since fourth grade. Roulette.
What'd you gamble on in fourth grade?
We played roulette.
Yeah.
And we pitched quarters and, you know, whatever. I stopped gambling for 10 years, and then all of a sudden I went back, and it's, you know. my problem is lottery numbers. I hear just, and like I was in the casino. If I shoot, I'll step over a naked body to shoot craps. There's nothing more exciting than shooting fucking dice. Let me tell you, when that table's hot, the head of the clan is high-fiving Farrakhan. When the dice table's hot, let me tell you, there's no feeling like a hot dice table. Fuck that. Get Megan Fox away from me. I'm trying to fucking hit a hard eight. So, but it's weird because I've been to casinos recently where I worked and I'm there for the whole week, and Monday night I win like 500. And I don't gamble the rest of the week. I go, I'll leave with 500. I'll pay for my golf, you know. But there's times where I'm going, you know, hiding money in my room. I don't bring my credit card. You know, I'm back and forth, up and down. So it's just addiction to instant gratification.
Yeah.
It's addiction is drugs, alcohol, food.
Stand up.
All of it. Stand up is just a symptom of yourself.
Right. Sex, all of it.
It's just a symptom of, are you burying something? Are you addicted to instant gratification? Look, that's why stand up is so different than acting.
Podcasting too. Yeah. I mean, I get this with you now. Yeah. This doesn't come out for a minute. And, you know, you forget sometimes what you even talked about with people because we're doing so many of these things. We're doing stand up every fucking night, every weekend.
Yeah.
But that good or bad, you're getting an instant fucking hit.
Yeah.
In front of that
crowd. You don't get that acting. Mm-mm. People go to me.
Hell, your movie might not come out for a fucking year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a long time to get a movie out or anything. Yeah.
People go, you can't act. Bitch, I'm a comic. It's like telling a brain surgeon you can't do root canal. I didn't study acting. I fucking do comedy anywhere. Yeah. I could do comedy fucking sleeping down on my couch to wake up and do a set, you know. And I can semi-act. You know, especially if I can ad lib. If you can ad lib, I'll fucking knock the scene out the box.
Yeah, if I can just be me, I'm good. If I got to be anything else, I'm not good.
If I got to read lines, I can't remember them.
I can't even read them anymore.
So, you know, and my comedy career is fucking great. I'm at the I've already won. You know what I mean? I see, you know, we're talking about all these comics doing crowd work online. And this isn't ego. This is just bare. And besides me, and I've named this on my new album, I'm one of the best at crowd work in this business, hands down. But there's other good, you know, Big J, Attell, Bonnie's great.
Andrew Schultz is great. Rick Ingram's great.
Yeah. Jimmy Brogan from back in the day was, you know, there's a lot of good. But I did on my new album, my impression of bad crowd work guy.
You know, okay,
and I like, where you from? Oh, I've been there.
I've been there.
You know, no jokes. How long you married? 11 years? Whoa, almost 12. So I do it. I close out my new album with Bad Crowd Work Guy. But now you'll see on, you know, especially in New York, a lot of these, they expect crowd workers. They see so much of it online. And I could do an hour. I could do an hour of complete crowd work. Believe me. I've done it on second shows where I'm going, I don't feel like doing material, you know, and it's not packed. My fucking career. I bring my own curtain to shows now. I stink. Jesus.
Tis the season to indulge, but if you don't want to get so high you go to the moon, let Dadgrass help you chill out and enjoy the ride. Their classic pre-rolled joints, hemp flower, tinctures, and gummies are the perfect replacement or pair to that glass of mulled wine or third helping of pie. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints and flower are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. And now they offer a variety of products so you can toke or dose just the way you like. From their CBD tincture drops to the newly launched CBD gummies and flavors like classic blackberry ginger, good time hibiscus lime, and nighttime midnight berry, you can chill out without getting stoned. And Dadgrass didn't forget your furry friends. They also release CBD dog bones so everyone in the house can enjoy. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. Right now, Dadgrass is offering my listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/honeydew. Go to dadgrass.com/honeydew for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/honeydew. This week, I've got Lamar throwing for more than 180 yards. I got Mahomes rushing for more than 40. And I got Aaron Rodgers throwing for under 300 yards. Prize Picks format is simple and it's easy to understand. So even if you aren't a sports fanatic, you can still play and have fun. Pick 2 to 5 players and if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. You're never competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. There are projections for any sport you watch: NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, you name it, it's all there. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. They're safe and fast withdrawal, and it's currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with your promo code HONEYDEW. All right, so if you deposit $100, Prize Picks going to give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks going to give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code HONEYDEW at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Now, let's get back to the Dew.
So,
all right, wait. I have a. I want to ask you questions. Right. Look, I have a daughter. She's about to turn 8. You have how many kids? Three
daughters.
All daughters. Yeah. No sons.
No.
Okay, so you have a. How old's your oldest?
32.
All right, so 32 is from your first wife.
Yes, yes. My first two. 32
first
and
two.
30. Yeah,
32 and 30. So, were you? You had just got clean and sober then for a few years, right?
I think I had like...
So they never saw dad during addiction?
Never.
Okay.
No.
And now your youngest is how old?
15.
All right.
So she's fucking great.
As a dad of where you've been 3 fucking times.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question because we were just... It's so funny. I just took my daughter. I'm from Baltimore originally. I went back to visit my cousins in Ocean City, Maryland, right?
I was just down there.
Working. Really?
Yeah.
So we fly into Philly and we got the 2-hour drive down to Ocean City, right? And yeah. A good friend of mine had come to see me that I've known since, we're in sixth grade. And his daughter, unfortunately, got a hot shot and she died from fentanyl. So,
no. Yeah, how old?
23, 24.
It's fucking horrible.
So I'm talking to him and he's emotional and everything. And my daughter sees it. You can't hide that. So on the drive back to the airport, she asked me, Dad, what was he crying about? What happened to his daughter? And I was like, you know what? You can either bullshit her now or you can fucking just straight up be real with her. And I chose to be real. And I was like, I'm going to tell you what happened. And I explained what drugs are. I told her what fentanyl is because I think there was a kid. It might have been the middle school here in Santa Monica where some kid took a Percocet from a parent's something, a street perk, and it killed him. It was hot. So I told her about fentanyl.
Why would a parent be fentanyl? Well, I don't know.
I don't know if it really was at the parent's house. I don't know where they got it, but they got it somewhere. Yeah. And it killed this kid, and it's all over. So I'm thinking you're going to be there in 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So I explained what fentanyl was. I explained drugs. I explained what marijuana was and alcohol. And, I down-talked the whole scary marijuana shit. I was like, listen, of all the things out there, that's the one. You know, she knows I smoke it. She knows the neighbors smoke it. She knows everybody. So she goes, sees the stores, the billboards out here. You can't fucking hide weed out here from your kids. So how did you talk to your kids about it? Were you real with them about it? Do they they probably know your stories.
Well, I took my older daughters. They used to go to meetings with me.
Okay.
Because I had them in the day. So they would play in the kids' room or whatever, and they both grew up with like asthma. So, they just knew I was an ex-drug addict. And they saw at meetings that they never saw me high or drunk. So subconsciously, they got to think, you know, he's a good dad, good life. He's not drinking or getting high. So something subconsciously, you know, my kids grew up, they drank. They weren't, you know, full-blown alcoholics. You know, they partied. They were fucking college kids.
Yeah, they're going to do what kids do.
Yeah, sure. They're college kids. So I never had a, well, I remember I have a video of my little daughters. Oh, so cute. They were probably 6 and 4. It's on tape. And I sat them on the couch and I would ask them questions. I go, if a stranger pulls up to you, what do? They go, run, run. I go, what if he says he has a puppy? Run, run, you know. And there might have been some drug questions, you know. And they're so cute. We run, daddy, run. Call the police, you know. So, and with my daughter now, I mean, I leave it all up to Bonnie. I bailed.
yeah, this one's yours.
I can't do this anymore. I'll take her to fucking Walmart.
Yeah, wait, hold on. She's 15. And 30, so 15 years you've been out of the game, man. You were almost out, huh? Yeah.
Well, she, oh God, she's so funny and cute. She's just, I mean, she's beautiful. She's smart. And I try to tell her, you know, because she's really, I'll show you a picture later. You know, I always try to say, you're smart before you're beautiful. I always try to say, you know, I don't want them. I'm sorry about that.
All three. Yeah.
So I always try to.
First thing I do too, yeah. It's never pretty first, yeah. Ever. Yeah. I am going to battle that fucking, you need to look good for a man or society, yeah, fucking fuck bullshit. Be fucking smart. I wish I hung out with the nerds in school.
Yeah.
You know, I was an athlete, hung out with the jocks. These nerds, yeah, are coding shit and making billions of dollars.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Drug, like, addict. I don't have any of it.
Man, be smart. I'm with you on that. Good
so,
for you.
So, you know, she'll leave the house with this low cut. I go, you got to change your shirt. I mean, she doesn't, but I tell her, you got to change, you know, putting on makeup. And, you know, I mean, she went from, you know, a piece of plywood to like a woman, you know. I'm like, she's 15. She hangs out with all her friends and they have sleepovers. You know, she has a good network of friends or good girls. And Bonnie the other day is like, how come she doesn't have a boyfriend? Yeah, I don't care. You know,
did your other daughters have boyfriend? What, yeah, God, what ages did they first have boyfriends that you were aware of, at least?
I think the oldest was 7.
What?
No.
Oh, God damn, no, dude. No. My daughter did tell me she has a crush on a boy. Yeah, and I was
they
like,
do. They have fuck. Crushes. No, I don't know. Teenagers, whatever. Yeah. You know.
What's the first time someone was brought home to meet you?
Well,
is it like a homecoming?
I don't know. My daughter's getting married. She called when she started dating this guy. She was scared to tell me. Like, she goes, you know, I'm dating this guy and he's black. And, right? And
like, is that real though? Yeah. I fuck around so much.
Yeah, he's light skinned. He, you know, so, but she thought I was going to be mad. I grew up in an all diverse neighborhood. You know, I mean, I've done every urban TV show. I go, why would I be mad about that? If he's good, he's good to you, a good person. You know, I don't care. The white dudes you went out with were fucking assholes.
Yeah, exactly.
I go, those guys were assholes.
Fucking white garbage.
Yeah, they were garbage. One dude, you know, I mean, one was cool. Her boyfriend before that was cool. He was a good golfer. He was cool. And the one before him was a fuck up. I mean, a complete fuck up. So I don't care. I mean, you know, my other daughter who married this guy, you know, white dude, as white as white can be, you know, red hat white, you know, fucking, he's just, he went to like some Ivy League college, you know, I'm like, ugh, you're just a perfect jaw, you know, a fucking jaw is white. It's like a jaw.
A white jaw.
Jaw is white. It's like the kind of jaw that rejects fucking minorities for a fucking car loan. You know, you go in for a car loan, you look at that jaw and go, we don't have a shot. So, you know, I just thought of that. It's fucking, Oh, you just want to punch him in his fucking waspy fucking banker jaw?
Your son-in-law.
So, and the other dude is cool. He plays ball, you know, we'll talk Jordan sneakers, you know. You know, and as long my daughter's my the one who's getting married, she has a townhouse in a real nice fucking area in Jersey. They bought a house in Tampa where they Airbnb it. They're getting ready to buy another house. This kid's 32. She's gonna have three fucking houses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hell
they're
yeah.
They're doing
good.
Well. My other daughter lives in. She bought a fucking $750,000 house. Her and her fucking job husband, all right, had a baby, you know, and these are my, you know, I was fucking, this is all too, you know, from telling jokes.
Right.
From going on stage.
That's right.
You know, I got to do a speech at my daughter's wedding, you know, in 2 weeks. I just can't offend anybody. I know how I am, you know, because there's going to be a mixed audience. You know, I'll start doing crowd work, you know.
God, if you do crowd work,
at my daughter's first wedding, right, the night before at the rehearsal dinner, his father gave a speech, you know. He came with slides of them, you know, together going up. He had a whole fucking presentation. So I didn't, I just went up at my daughter's wedding. I go, first of all, I'm not like this fucking boat act. All right. I didn't prepare.
Boat act.
I call him a boat act or whatever. I don't know. I go, him and his dumb slides. I'm surprised he didn't do magic. Right. I'm just trashing him and I moved on. But then I'll write some bullet points, but it comes from here. Just like comedy. To me, look, there's great comics. But to me, good comedy comes from the heart, not the head. Mm-hmm. Like you.
Well, it starts with the heart and you polish it with the head.
Yeah, yeah. No, but there's joke
with
the tellers.
Gut. Yeah, you're right.
When you leave a show, for me, like I love all comedy. Don't get me wrong. My favorite, you know, I love Maria Bamford. I love fucking Stano. You know, I love Alter Regan, you know, from up and down. But when you leave a show, to me, I'd rather know something about that person. You know, you could leave someone's show and go, what'd they say? I don't know, but he was funny.
Right.
But you leave a show and go, wow, what a life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you, so, you know, it's all different. And like someone like Maria Bamford, you just know she's out of her fucking mind.
Right.
She's so good.
Mm-hmm.
She's you know, great. And same with Stanhope too. He'll take a bit and go, you know, in complete circle with you go, holy fuck. He does a bit about a third world guy going to a fucking American prison. It's as funny as anything I've ever heard. It's so funny. And you're thinking, or Patrice, when me and Patrice were good friends, we'd hang out. And when you made him laugh, it was so electrifying when you said something. And there was no better feeling than me. I made Patrice laugh where he fell on the ground. You know, it's so electric. And he's made me, you know, me and Patrice were walking down the street when I was giving him a ride home. And
you just said me and Patrice were walking down the street one night. I was giving him a ride
home. Well, no, I gave him a ride home. Okay. And then we're walking down to his, you know, walking to his house. And he looks at me and goes, I don't have a fucking thing going on in my career. Nothing. And I go, I don't have an agent, a manager, nothing. And we just both started cracking up, laughing. Yeah. Like, you know, we did an audition, me and him, for the two leads in a sitcom. So we're auditioning for Marcy Phillips, the head of casting for ABC, nicest lady in the world. And we're up there, and I can't act, and he doesn't want to be there. So he won't take his face out of the copy. And we're trying, and she's yelling at me. I go, how the fuck can I connect with a guy that won't look at me? And I'm trashing him. He's going, fuck you. And this, and then she goes, can you two just leave?
Wow,
and
really?
We just walked down a hallway laughing. We just blew, and we just started laughing. It's so funny to us. And we're walking down the hallway and there's three executives behind us. And I didn't mean to, but I farted. And he fell on the ground laughing so hard because the executives were all fucking like, oh. You know, there's certain comics like that, they laugh. Like when you do, when I do radio with Gervais, Ricky, his laugh is so electrifying.
Yeah.
He loves comics.
Yeah. He's one of my favorites.
And
no
he'll
doubt.
Laugh. Like if you say something funny, like there's no ego. Yeah. And you could trash him too. You could, you know, he's going to trash you. He's just like hanging with the dudes. And that's how our crew was in New York. We were fucking brutal. Me, Patrice, Norton, Keith Robinson, Bobby Kelly. You know, Kevin Hart started with our crew. Mm-hmm. Bill Burr. We were all fucking ruthless. We beat Billy down one night at the Cellar so bad. He came in. He came in all, and we're all sitting there. And he goes, I'm going to the World Series. The Yankees were playing the Mets. He goes, I'm going to the World Series. And we're like, how'd you get tickets? He goes, I'm doing a show on these guys hired me to do a show on their bus to the game. And for 45 minutes, we fucking did. Sweat was pouring down his face. Patrice, we did, like, we were doing stuff like, you guys were a good crowd.
Like, walking down walk
off,
there.
Walking off the bus. And Patrice, like, once he said that, like, our eyes lit up because we go, here's
a fucking victim. Yeah.
Victim. And we had so much fun. And then Patrice, you know, one night, the closest we came to, I mean, Kevin, I walked in one night with a little bump on my lip and everybody's yelling, Voss has herpes. And they're yelling it. In top of the cell, everybody's in there. They're banging the table. Voss has herpes. You know, fucking dumb little Kevin Hart with his little hands bouncing on the fucking table. You know, Voss has herpes, and now he's not. You know, the closest we came one night, we're sitting in the cellar, and who's the nicest guy in the world? Russell Peters walks in.
He's done the show, yeah.
And he has this, you know, what a pea coat is. Mm-hmm. You know, the navy coat. Yeah. But he has one up to his waist. Okay. It's a waist. And he's walking in with his crew. And we look at his coat. And we just, me, Keith, and it's just nonstop. And Bonnie goes, you look like the little boy on Boardwalk Empire. And we just, like, so nobody with his crew would laugh. But we were, he came in the next night fucking just firing off shit at us.
That's
He came in and he goes, fuck these guys. And the nicest guy in the world. And just be, so we had like our table in the back of the cellar. You know, it was in the dock, the Patrice dock. They talk about it. We were fucking ruthless. But it was fun. We were so funny. We were like just comics having fun. Then we leave there. And a lot of nights it would be me, Patrice, Keith Robinson, and Jim Norton would stand in front of Boston Comedy Club and just trash each other till 3 or 4 in the morning. And it was the most fun and the best times in comedy you could have. Like now, I was sitting at the table and there was some young kid, he said something, and I trashed him and he went, what's that about? I go, what? What's that about? Shut the fuck up. It's a trashing, you dummy. You know, they're so thin-skinned and so, you know, and I don't think L.A. is like New York. People don't sit around beating each other up like
it's
we do.
It's not.
It's not like that here.
I'm an East Coast guy. Yeah. It's not. We grew up, hey, asshole was just a polite way to get someone's attention. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was never, it was all ball buster. It was all I want to make you cry. Like, I want to make you cry. Yeah. And then you'd be like, hey, I'm sorry, man. We're just messing around.
If I'm fucking with you, it's so funny. If I'm fucking with you, it means I like you.
Yes. I'm spending time on you right now.
So many MCs on the road, you know, I'll go, do you have my number at the end of the week? And they go, no. And I go, good, and walk away.
Yeah.
Good. I go, you see me in New York, don't act like you know me. Right? Don't act like we're buddies. All right. But also, I'm not an asshole. Like, if so many of them, can I sell merch? And I always say yes. I'm not one of these headliners. You can't. Of course, they don't make any fucking money, you know. So it was so much fun throughout the career. Now it's different.
This is what I want to ask you a question. How many years in comedy were you using? How many years were you doing comedy?
Just 3 years.
3 years.
Two or three years.
How long do you think you could have kept that up while in comedy?
I would have died.
You would have died.
I would have got shot or a car accident or went
Why
to jail.
Why do you think shot? Just from
I would have put myself in a position somewhere, try to rip somebody off or did. Like I was working in Boston. I met a waitress, beautiful. And I go, can you get Coke up here? She go, we drove from Boston to New York. I spent all my money. We got a hotel room, did Coke all night. And she said, my sister wants an ounce of Coke. Can you get any? Yeah. And I would have ripped her off. In my head, I would have ripped her off easily. 3 years later, I'm working in Florida, and that sister's in the audience with her monster boyfriend.
Nah.
So if I would have ripped her off, you know.
And she came up to you and told you I'm the...
I don't know. She goes, oh, yeah, you met my... Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing good would have happened if I would have kept doing it. It's not like, you know, oh, I'm a crack addict. I'm hitting lottery. They see, there's no good ending.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no, you don't fucking get a trophy, you know.
Death, so, institution, or incarceration.
Or jail. There's right one of those that. Three. So luckily, I stopped when I stopped because the progression was out of control. And thank God I wasn't making money doing comedy. You know, I would go on the road and MC for $125 for the week. It probably cost me $50 to fly then. Yeah. I would go. All
right. Let me ask you this. You battle addiction. So you've beat the alcohol, drug, substance. You've beat substance. But you say gambling's a here and there. It's an issue.
Yeah.
What do you do to fucking center yourself, to really actually check yourself?
What do you mean by like?
Well, I mean, like, if you're ever that maybe you're
buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Doing too much gambling or whatever, like you obviously you have an ability to reset yourself or self-check. Like, what do you do? Does it just hit a point where you finally go, hey, enough of this fucking shit? Or,
well, you know,
I mean, you don't look like you meditate. Maybe you do.
No, I don't. Okay. All right, fucking Gandhi. I don't meditate. Shut your mouth. No, my wife, like, I got 36 years clean, and meditation is a big part. I don't meditate. I don't know how. And I'll go by my wife's room, and she's meditating. And I'm jealous that my wife, you know, her career is taking off. She had the best analogy. You know, she goes, you know, think. She goes, because I have a lot of times my power of thinking, things happen for me when I do it. Mm-hmm. It's for some reason. She goes, just think. She goes, if you want to be a millionaire, you'll be one, right? And then I said to her, God gives you what you need, not what you want. She said, you think Chelsea Handler really needed a TV show? She shot down my theory.
Yeah. Right now.
There's your fucking God.
Yeah.
I do got to start meditating. I do. I think.
So what is it you do?
I try to disconnect from is play golf.
Okay.
So when I'm out there 4 hours, I'm as disconnected with this business.
Are you gambling on the game though?
No. Once in a while, me and my friends will play $5. But I usually go by myself and they put me with three people or whatever. Gotcha. And they ask me what I do for a living. I tell them I'm an FBI profiler. Then I just bullshit my way through that, you know, or whatever. Because I read a couple of John Douglas books back when I used
to
read.
You could be someone new every time. Yeah, if they don't know who you are. Back when I used to read.
You know, back in the day. So I guess getting away is playing golf. Or when I'm doing yard work. I had my, for 3 years, I ended season three of Landscaping with Rich, which I did on. What?
Dude, I had this idea for a show years ago I was trying to pitch where it's called I'll Cut Your Grass.
Yeah.
Because I'd be on the road meeting people to meet and greet. They're like, well, it's so cool what you do. It's so cool. I'm like, what do you do? And they're like, nah, tomorrow I'm just cutting the grass. I'm like, do you know how much I would love tomorrow to just go fucking get on a ride mower and cut the fucking grass?
Oh.
And I wanted to do a give back show where, you know, maybe it's a woman who has breast cancer and she has to go get her chemo. And, you know, the house is a single mom in the yard. I'm going to come cut your grass while you go.
I thought you wanted to break in the house.
I saw you shaking it with big eyes. Like, yeah, robber. No, I'm going to come cut your grass.
That's
man.
A good.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You go, you're single dad. You haven't been with the kids or whatever it is. Go take your kids out and have a good time. I'll cut your grass.
See, that's funny. I did three seasons of Landscaping with Rich. But if you look it up. I would say what I'm going to do. Okay, Tay, I'm going to put in, you know, 40 arborvitaes. And then, you know, I say, hey, welcome to Landscaping Ridge. And this is today's project. You're going to be with me all along the way. We're going to get this done together. And then I would just show at the end the finished product. I wouldn't show them me doing anything. Yeah. It would just be a picture of the arborvitaes. Fucking planted. So I never did anything, but I always set it up when I was doing. Yeah. But all the deer in my neighborhood, I have an acre of property. I planted 36 arborvitaes. The deer ate them. They're sickly. So then in the front, I took them out and put in the front 20. I put big rocks out front of my house. You know how they lay them. Mm-hmm. Then I put between them 20 Alberta spruce. And we had a drought and a heat wave, and they're all dead. They're brown, dead. And I ended season three. I go, listen, it was a great season, but everything's dead.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. I'll see you next year.
All right, look. First of all, thank you for coming on here and talking about this
I don't know how I got into the whole us and our crew and Patrice. I always end up talking about that because that was my favorite time in the business, you know, and we're in a tough business.
Yeah, we are.
And
yeah, that's the moments that matter, you know, yeah.
I love doing stand-up. I love creating, you know, and if I was getting high, I wouldn't have any of, I wouldn't have my family. I wouldn't have comedy. I wouldn't get a free fucking free Ryan mug Sickler there, mug.
Yeah, man.
You don't know this. I'm going to use it tonight.
I can't wait.
And so I go off in tangents and I'm sorry if I did.
It's well, all I'm not good. Sorry. No, I'm not yeah. Sorry. This I'm is not your sorry. Episode, dude. This is what I want to ask you though. I told you at the beginning off mic.
Let's start over.
I was going to ask you advice you would give to your 16-year-old self. And it's interesting because that's you a couple of years into just drinking maybe and doing some smoking some pot. And you know it's about to come your way in a few years. What advice would you tell yourself?
Try not to come so fast. It's only pussy. I don't know. I bet you 9 out of 10 people go buy Apple, buy Microsoft.
No, they really don't. After an episode like this, they really do look back.
I guess the advice I would give to myself is
don't fuck around with cocaine. But
no, I would probably say, be more grateful. Enjoy what you have in life. I go, you know. Don't compare, identify, and just be more grateful.
Dude, that's great advice. Great. Don't compare, identify, and I'm on this gratitude thing right now, big time, too.
We're in a business where you're like, what the fuck, you know?
And also, listen, at the end of the day, none of this fucking matters.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
You got your family, you got your health, none of this fucking matters. But I don't you got like grandkids, them. You got a son-in-law you don't like, but whatever. He's got a great jawline. You know what I'm
no,
saying?
No, but it's true. I've been in a business, and I have a minor speech impediment. My SH is, I fucking made a career out of talking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I followed Chris Spencer last night. I had no problem. He killed. Yeah. Just have more gratitude.
That's great.
Be grateful.
Plug and promote everything again, please.
Our podcast is My Wife Hates Me. It's wherever they, podcasts are played. My album, Rich Voss 7, should be out 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks on iTunes or wherever. Special, Rich Voss Anonymous will be on, in November it's coming out on all streaming, like Pluto, Roku, all that shit. My manager's coming out with a whole new streaming, I don't even understand it's, I forget the name of it. Anyhow, it's going to be everywhere. And you know what? I don't, whatever. I'm not a, just if you, look, here's my advice. If you're at a podcast and there's a dish of candy, take some.
Load up. You got load that up mug candy. Loaded, bro.
Get some candy.
Dude, no. Thank you for coming on, for real. This was
Thanks
great.
Thanks for having me.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.